And we are back. Guess what, Dom?
What?
This episode is brought to you by none other than Raid. It's fucking nuts. Honestly.
Can you imagine if we come back with a sponsor?
That'd be if like... we came back with the Raid Shadow Legends sponsor.
Yeah, no.
It's good to see ya. I'm seeing you in 4K, bro.
I'm seeing you in a different way, purely because I'm not used to seeing you with those frames on your face. But here we are.
Yeah, bro, I'm reframing the situation.
You are reframing the situation. It's good.
You see what I did there?
I did. It makes you look intelligent for a change.
Get fucked, you know. You can go suck a chode.
Anyway.
Welcome back to Box, Box, Box.
We're back.
I'm Sam.
I am Dom.
It's your favourite Formula One podcast. We're back, baby.
I know, it feels like it's been forever.
Bro, trust me.
Like,
do you remember? We're going to have some really nice time off.
Yeah, we're going to have some really nice time off. But we were like, oh, we're going to do some like content in between it. Flat out. We've been completely
My work's been really busy. I decided to help my parents move house. Been fucking doing up my house.
It's just been chaos, ain't it?
So that chaos, that frigging content plan went out the window. We're still going to do it, but you know.
Well, we've got some stuff. So, I can now officially hand you the notes so that you know what we're talking about. So,
on this week's episode, we are talking about...
So, we're going to be doing the catch-up after the summer shutdown, just between us.
Yeah. Going to be the predictions of the championship segment.
We're going to be talking about the Cadillac driver bombshell, of course.
The Dutch GP preview.
We're going to be doing a spotlight on Bottas and Perez's careers.
Going to do a deep dive and... Deep dive, the break that broke them. What?
You're intrigued, aren't you?
Okay, yeah.
We're also going to be talking about the latest F1 news roundup. We're going to be...
Yeah, we've got race predictions as well.
And if we get time, we might be diving into a fun little spin-off at the end, which I'm not going to talk about just in case we don't dive into it and we can save it for another episode.
Before we get into the news, I was in Costco yesterday.
Go on.
They've got Lance Stroll merch in there.
Lance Stroll merch.
Lance Stroll Aston Martin merch. Nobody bought it, but
I kind of want to go. So the next time that you walk up to me,
they were like £40, and it took willpower to not buy one just for the bants.
I don't think I'd want to spend £40 on it. I think I paid like £6 for my Aston Martin shirt. So, yeah.
So, Dom, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing. Do you know what? I don't know if this shirt is Racing Point. Or Force India Racing Point. I think it's just Racing Point because it hasn't got the Kingfisher sponsor on it.
Yeah, so it's probably Racing Point.
So I think it's right before it Racing Point went Aston Martin. So Daddy Stroll paid for this one. But yeah. Before we do dive in, we've spoke about what we got up to over the summer break, which is work.
Yeah.
But what's new with you? What is new with you?
I mean, I think my Mazda should be fixed in a couple of hours.
That's always good.
Obviously, like, it comes to the point that I'd had that car, I've had it in bits, I've had everything off, done all the turbo. I thought there was a boost leak. Turns out the turbo just wasn't making boost. But there's nothing wrong with the turbo. It's spinning happy as Larry. So obviously, like, the mechanics next to us, like, they're really good guys. Even they, and like, the guy who owns it's got like some mad as fuck Mini. And he was like, well, this is fun. This is
a little track car, isn't it?
This is a bit broken. You got a fast as fuck Honda.
I do. Well, we spoke about that already.
Yeah, but you know what? You paid for all the brake pads, Dom.
I paid for all the brake pads. I will use all the brake pads, yes. I recently had new brakes fitted on my Honda. I know that's not very interesting, but now it stops as well as it goes. So.
No, it's sensational. What's new with you though, bro? It's been a minute.
To be honest, not really all that much. I'm just chilling, killing.
Living your best life. Bro,
here and there.
As Jill Scott says, you're living your life like it's golden.
Yeah, kind of. You know. Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. I'm living the Ferrari lifestyle.
Yeah, bro, you know what? I need to go find somebody. I thought that draw was going to go flying then. I need to get somebody to cover me on Sprint Tuesday so me and you can go in and just fuck shit up, you know?
Just fuck shit up.
Like Jack came down last week. Didn't win.
Didn't, well...
Nah, bro. He could have won. He was holding off till the end, then he just went beast mode.
And then
but left it too late. Yeah. Left it too late.
It do be like that sometimes.
But anyway, I think the big bombshell of the news out the gate this week is Cadillac.
Yeah, so I chose to put this... So for just a little bit of context to this episode, obviously, me and Sam have both been very busy, but Sam's been a little bit more busier than I have. And we spoke about like this episode coming back and we were like, yeah, we'll be prepared for it. Well, we got 3 weeks to write a build-up episode for like Sam Vought, this, that, the other.
And then obviously things changed in my life. All positive, to be honest. All very positive.
But like 2-3 days before we are here now and Sam says, can you start putting some notes together for the episode, please? And I was like, say less.
It's already done.
So I started making some notes, but I've finalised most of this last night. So, but I feel like the reason I put Cadillac and the talking point about Cadillac so early on in the episode is just because it's so important.
No, 100%, mate. 100%.
It's probably the biggest piece of F1 news this season already. I don't know if you...
No, I'd agree. I'd 100% agree with that.
So... Obviously, if you have been living under a rock for the past 48 hours, or you just wasn't given into the rumours that it turned out to be true, Cadillac confirm Valtteri Bottas and Sergio Perez as their drivers for 2026. Huge news. The two experienced race winners leading the American entry into F1. A girl I know, I've spoken to her on Instagram. She talks a lot about F1 and stuff. Maddie, her name is.
Is that a German thing?
No. I can't remember her name. I've not spoken to her in ages. We'll come back to her. But yeah, Maddie gave her verdict on Perez, saying that Perez, he'll be in the wall with the shitbag signs on turn 3 of China next year. Which I was like, that's a bold statement. So
that is a very bold statement. But I mean,
the other bold statement is that she also said, because I was like, oh, Sainz isn't that bad. He's also the last race winner for Ferrari. And her words were, the horse will win at home this season. So, which is the race.
Oh, shitbag Sainz. What the fuck?
Yeah, shitbag Sainz. Yeah.
She can go fuck herself.
I know. She's throwing shade at our lovely smooth operating cars.
Bro, you know what? You can't come to a watch party. I don't even know if you come, but fuck yourself. I mean, you can. I'm not stopping you, but I'll just put you on blast.
I don't know if she's like British or not, you know.
Don't give a fuck.
Then again, they have a F1 allocate all over the...
I was about to say, bro, we'll global blank, come at me.
That's wild.
I mean, honestly, you know what, obviously, so the big news is obviously that it is Valtteri Bottas and Sergio Perez.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I feel that Bottas really...
So did you see the two announcements? So
Bottas with him serving hot.
And everyone was like, this is AI. And then he uploads all the fucking B-roll from it where he's falling off in every fucking bit. And then there's Perez's, which is obviously all in Spanish, but he's talking on about like how he's like the legacy of Mexico in Formula One. And he's and it's very serious and very like, it almost seems political with how it's like addressed.
And then Bottas is just there doing the most American shit on the planet.
If he was speaking in German, I would have thought it was like an Audi advert on TV. That's the only way I can describe it. Whereas Bottas is just like, America! Like literally just no fucks
Can I
given.
Be honest though, they're not going to struggle to get sponsors because you're going to get all the Mexican sponsors.
Yeah, you're going to get all the Mexican sponsors.
And then all the American companies.
Yeah, and the... Aussies, because Bottas is an honorary Aussie. Yeah. Anything that's kind of Scandinavian is going to be interested. And to be honest, Deliveroo. It's like,
Bottas, like, he's a fantastic driver also. He got fucked over at Kicksover. I do believe, you know what, in this year's car, he probably would have done better. Imagine Kicksover this year being Hülkenberg.
Yeah. He would have done a lot better.
Bottas would have been a great team.
Yeah.
But obviously, I really hope that it's a good start season from Cadillac. I mean, it's a brand new team. And it never really fares well for new teams at the game, except for...
Braun GP.
Braun GP.
Yeah. Good point. I wouldn't have even thought about mentioning that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we're still waiting for the Audi announcement as well.
Yeah, that'll be the year after.
Do you reckon they'll get in trouble with fuel scandals?
Only if they put the 1.9 PD in it.
What engine's in your F1 car? 1.9 PD, TDI. So yeah, let's move on. Let's have a look back at the careers of Valtteri Bottas.
Before we do jump into that, I just wanted to say, It seems like Cadillac have always had this kind of like old man vibe about their brand. Like that's always been their struggle, especially, well, yeah, understandably in America.
They've always been like cruisers, haven't they?
And they, well, it's just funny that they've signed two almost retired Formula One drivers. But I'm not trying to throw shade at them because I think that Bottas and Perez are the two best number two drivers.
I'm 100%
in the last decade. Like if you think about the championships that have occurred in the last decade,
a lot of them
almost all of them have been down to the help of both Bottas and Perez.
Whoever the second driver is.
Well, Bottas or Perez.
Yeah.
So it's been 100%. Basically it's been Lewis and Max. Yeah. And the two drivers.
Yeah. Well, it's Valtteri Bottas with Lewis.
Yeah.
And then obviously Perez with Verstappen. So, right, so as you've written so eloquently here, let's move on. You know what? I can read this now and I don't feel like I'm struggling because I can actually fucking see.
It turns out you're not severely autistic, you were just blind.
No, I'm still dyslexic.
Yeah, but you're not like...
not autism.
I was going to say morbidly, but that's the wrong way to say it. Is it
severely? Severely dyslexic, you fucking...
Did you just say you can't think of a word now?
There's a word I can say, but I don't want to get cancelled.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Anyway, Valtteri Bottas.
God, I'm sorry, bro. I'm just sorry to ADHD here, but have you seen that video of... It's quite sad, but the Indian guy who's trying to blow up, who's trying to bomb a plane between... I think it's Ireland and Glasgow. And he's like screaming, obviously the marshal jumps, pins him down, and there's a Serbian dude, and he's on the plane, you spastic.
Wow, yeah.
It's so bad, but it's the greatest use of that word I think I've ever seen.
It's one of those where like in this day and age, that word is so bad, but like sometimes it can be justified.
Justified. Anyway, moving swiftly back.
Valtteri Bottas. So, do you want to talk about the Mullet King or do you want to talk about the sombrero wearing geezer?
I'm gonna go for Captain Mustache.
Okay, go on then.
Right, Valtteri Bottas entered Formula One in 2013 with Williams, impressing quickly with consistent point finishes. Joined Mercedes in 2017 after Nico Rosberg's retirement, partnered with Lewis Hamilton for 5 seasons, won 10 races and helped Mercedes secure multiple Constructors' Championship. Known for a strong qualifying pace and occasional dominance like Austria 2017 and Australia 2019, he moved to Alfa Romeo stroke Sauber in 2022 as team leader, mentoring Zhou and preparing for Audi's arrival. He has a reputation of being dependable, fast on his day and highly experienced on the top level teams.
Yeah, so, as I said, I just wanted to... talk a little bit about all the drivers' previous... Well, they're two new drivers' previous endeavours because I feel like both Bottas and Perez have kind of been in the shadows of obviously Lewis and Max.
And the thing is, like, people shit on Perez. Like, more than Bottas, to be honest. And Perez is still a fucking good driver.
Perez was a good driver, but we all started shitting on Perez. And I say we because it really was both of us.
Oh, mate, it wasn't just us. It was a whole sport.
Yeah, because he fell off hard. I don't know why or what.
I do think, you know, was it the car back then? Was the car getting that undrivable that he couldn't control it?
More than likely. But anyway.
We will find Perez, out a Cadillac.
Yeah. So Perez debuted 2 years before Bottas, but with Sauber, earning praise for tyre management and podium potential. He had stints at McLaren in 2013 and Force India and Racing Point 2014 to 2020. I remember him being at Force India and Racing Point. So that was a fun time. 6 years he was there. Then a breakthrough win at Sakhir in 2020 after last to first drive with a Racing Point, which is pretty fucking impressive, really, in the grand scheme.
Yeah.
Signed with Red Bull in 2021. Obviously, that win didn't go unnoticed, providing backup to Verstappen during multiple title campaigns. With a total of 6 career wins, including Monaco in 2022, and over a dozen podiums. He has a reputation for being an aggressive racer, a street circuit specialist, and highly marketable in the Americas. So, yeah, that is our good pal Sergio Checo Perez.
So, moving on.
Well, the talking point, Cadillac will have one of the most experienced pairings on the grid for a debut team. Does experience outweigh the lack of youthful long-term potential?
Now, that's an interesting one, because for me, it's that the younger guys are going to be more... reaction times are going to be quicker.
Yeah, and they're going to take more risks, but that's both good and bad.
Oh, 100%, mate. So, and
with slightly less experience, I would say that would be more bad than good.
More bad, 100%, because obviously they'll end up just binning it. I mean, it's kind of one of them ones where it's really hard to predict how they're going to perform. I mean, how I'm looking at it, I'm looking at them, say, going in like Haas, but the difference is that Cadillac's going to have a much bigger research.
Yeah.
Like, their R&D is going to be bigger. But they're still
bigger
new.
Bigger than who?
Than Haas.
Oh, yeah.
I'm comparing them to the other American team.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I missed that part.
Like, and obviously another new team that came to the block, which was Haas.
Yeah,
they were a team who didn't take over somebody else.
From
they were
nothing. Yeah,
they were
one of the first teams to do that in
a long time. Like, and obviously, like in the last fucking 5 years, we've had two more teams just stopped.
I think other than Ferrari and McLaren, currently on the grid, and obviously Haas, because that's who we're comparing. There isn't any. So the other seven teams.
I thought Williams were a day one team.
Oh, yeah, actually. Good point. Yeah. All right.
Williams.
Well, that means that there is six teams on the grid that have changed hands, names, and some multiple times, whereas Ferrari, Williams, McLaren, and Haas, and then soon to be Cadillac, will be only teams that have come in from the get go as their team. And
yeah, as day one teams. So it's really going to be interesting. And I hope, you know.
That sounds like an episode topic in itself, those just that.
You know, I really hope that it works out well for Cadillac in their first season.
I hope they have a good first season. Yeah, I'm not expecting a dominant first season, but I don't want to see him at the back of the grid.
I mean, I want to see him in mid-pack.
What you've got to remember now is we no longer have 20.
22.
It's 22. So now we're going to have 21st and 22nd place. And I don't want them to be there. But who's going to end up there? I feel like that's a question that we should ask at the end of this season.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, again, like, we know nothing really. Audi are holding that card very close to their chest at the minute.
Yeah.
In terms of obviously how it's going to, well, how the, what their game is. They're playing a very German card of keeping it very close until they know exactly what the game plan is.
There's a worried BMW might show up. I mean, we've got Audi. We've got
Mercedes. Yeah, just BMW group are going to cut.
BMW is the only one left.
Just going to slap a B58.
Like, what's next? Volkswagen? Porsche?
Volvo.
Of love.
Nah, bro, Volvo F1 car.
Volvo F1 car would be... do you know what? I don't know what that would be.
It'd just be a fucking... It'd be a house brick.
Mm-hmm. We should do some like completely separate short form and just do like if manufacturers had an F1 team.
Yeah, 100%.
That's going to happen.
I think
anyway,
that would be very, very, very fun.
So anyway, let's dive straight in. The deep dive, the break that broke them. So I specifically chose this topic to talk about, which is exploring famous post-summer collapses in F1 history, maybe over the last decade more than anything. But we're going to be talking about drivers and teams at risk of repeating that in 2025. So we're just going to bust through some drivers and teams that have had basically a fantastic start to the season, i.e.
And it just goes shit in second half.
Yeah. So imagine Piastri and
Lando
and
just going shit.
Just that's it now. They're
tanking it.
Outside of the top six, like for the rest of the season, and lose the title to Max Verstappen and George Russell.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it's coming down to. So,
yeah.
I don't remember a fat lot of these. I had to dig so much to get some of this shit.
Do you know what? I do remember a lot of these. These are kind of when I was 2022, I just about remember. But like the rest of them, yeah, I remember all these because this is when I was still watching F1 again.
So the only one that I know is the Red Bull one, but we'll get to that in a moment. So,
right. So, Dom, take it away.
So this one actually flabbergasted me because I always assumed that Sebastian Vettel, when he went to Ferrari, everything went tits up. I mean, obviously it did in the end. in true Ferrari fashion. So I don't know why it surprised me, but so in 2018, the pre-summer break, Vettel had won four of the first 13 races and was just 24 points behind Lewis Hamilton heading into the summer break. After the summer break, he crashed out in the lead of Hockenheim just before the break, and the downward spiral began there. At Monza, he spun after the first lap with contact with Hamilton in front of the Tifosi, giving the win to his rival, which, that's quite funny given the fact that he's at Ferrari now, Monsieur Hamilton. But a poor performance in Japan, with him running wide trying to pass Verstappen, left him nearly 70 points behind. The outcome was the title challenge imploded. Hamilton wrapped up the championship in Mexico with two races to spare. Now, talking about that and how it surprised me, I think the thing that was so surprising for me, again, is because we do always think, like when Hamilton signed to Ferrari, we were like, there was that meme going around, weren't there, of Vettel being like, moving to Ferrari. Oh, you want to get like one last championship? Yeah, that'll go well.
That'll go well, but it's kind of looking that way at the minute.
Yeah, and
I'm not going to manifest that. We're going to stay positive for Lewis because it's his first season at Ferrari.
Yeah, but like, it's one of those where everyone kind of forgets that Vettel did have that, you know, I don't want to say dominant start to 2018 with Ferrari, but he did well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 4 out of 13 races ain't bad, and only 24 points behind Hamilton going into the break is pretty impressive. So
no, exactly. But anyway, again, Charles Leclerc, pre-break looked strong with wins at Bahrain and Austria. Still just about clinging onto the title, contending the title contention heading into Spa. Post-break, Ferrari bought an underpowered package to Belgium. Oh, what a shock. Where Leclerc received a grid penalty and then finished sixth after a botched pit stop to chase fastest lap at Monza.
Never.
He finished P2, but never looked threatening to Verstappen. Never looked like a threat to Verstappen.
Never looked like threatening Verstappen.
There we go. Thank you, Dom.
It's all right.
A strategic mess and lack of pace continued. Ferrari went winless. It's my I'm still getting used to my glasses. Ferrari went winless post break. Outcome slid into second in the championship, 146 points behind Verstappen.
Again, Ferrari.
Do you know what?
I think that whole thing
that's
so stereotypically Ferrari.
Do you know what? Like, and that's the thing, like, obviously that before we had the break, we had Lewis saying that it's not the car, but that just proves it.
Mm.
Again, like, yeah, you can have a car that can get on pole, but it can't hold the pace.
Yeah.
And that's sheer proof, because Lewis can still do it. And the proof was the sprint at Spa.
Definitely.
Was it Spa that he won?
No, was it China? I don't know. I can't remember. It was the first sprint.
Yeah, it was.
So I think, I don't know.
No, it won't have been Spa.
Fake fans. Yeah, definitely it weren't Spa. This again, it's just the post-break note of Ferrari bringing a underpowered package to Belgium.
What a shock. Everyone else has spent...
Yeah. Leclerc receiving a grid penalty and finishing sixth after a botched pit stop to chase the fastest lap.
It's so Ferrari, it actually fucking hurts, you know.
And then finishing P2 in Monza, that's like...
It's comedy gold.
Yeah, strategic messes. Yeah, it's just Ferrari. 100% yeah. Ferrari. I hope we do get a good Ferrari season again soon, but yeah, I don't think this season or but next, moving maybe, on. I think.
Danny Rick.
So, 2018 at Red Bull this was, and it was pre-break, so he had two wins, China and Monaco, and was seen as Red Bull's equal to Verstappen, which, if you look back at that now, that's like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly,
big
obviously.
Deal.
Real big deal.
During the break, he announced his shock move to Renault for 2019, which caught a lot of people off guard, but he went for the money, man, 100%. Post-break, reliability issues exploded at Red Bull, which is quite surprising because he's going to Renault. and let's set him up for a not disappointment, really.
Yeah.
Retired from six of the last nine races, and he looked delusionized, often outpaced by Max. A Spa retirement with clutch issues, Monza with overheating, Mexico with engine failure, the list goes on. The outcome for him was he ended the season in sixth position in the standings, 79 points behind Verstappen. So when you think about Leclerc in 2022, he was second in the championship,
yeah,
146 points behind Verstappen. And then Ricciardo in 2018, finishing sixth, only 79 points behind Verstappen. I mean, Verstappen wasn't first, so it's not like there's 79 points between sixth and first, but so
it's
close.
It's still fucking mad, you know. Still, but anyway, moving on, Red Bull in 2009, the team of Vettel and Webber, that being Mark Webber, if you are unaware of who we're on about. Pre-break.
Good pairing.
Unreal pairing, mate. Pre-break, five wins in seven races, including 1-2 finishes in Britain and Germany. Looked like they could topple Braun GP. Plot twist. Technical directive around ride height hurt them. Braun and Button stabilised. Red Bull only won one of the seven final races. Vettel made unforced errors, e.g. penalties in Hungary and Belgium. Outcome, Jensen Button clinched to the title. Red Bull missed both opportunities in the championship despite having the strongest car in the second half. And you know, again, that's a Red Bull race strategy all over.
Yep.
Like, and I mean, obviously, like, they're, I feel the ride height of the car, it's a really, I mean, we've seen it again this year, yeah, with Hamilton. And I think it's a really hard one to balance because obviously sometimes
you want to look good slammed, but also no
it's something that, like, obviously you want to be as low as you can, so you
downforce
downforce, and obviously the lower you are, the faster you are.
Well, you get less drag underneath the car. Yeah, so, well, yeah,
exactly.
I think,
but obviously there's also that because of the rules, it's really hard to, you can either run low and be careful and not basically take the apex is really hard,
but you got to worry about your skid plate on the bottom, haven't you?
That's exactly problem. And that's why I said, like, you've got to be careful on how hard you hit the apexes.
Yeah.
Because they will do you dirty.
Yeah, well, that's why, if you remember back to our lovely episode title of Hamilton's Woods Too Small or something like that, that's literally what happened.
Exactly, followed by Hulkenberg
with his wood too small.
Yeah, both of them. Absolutely disappointing. Anyway, so moving swiftly on, who could be at risk in 2025?
So yeah, this is more just, this is very opinionated here, but...
Just a quick one, our opinions are not the opinions of anyone who employs us.
No, these are just...
I don't know what these are. These are actually technically Dom's opinions.
So, well, I say opinions, this is prediction, opinion, I don't know, it's something. But it's from my perspective of what I think who might be at risk in 2025. And so, then something for us to then discuss and talk about. So, Max Verstappen, obviously.
Can I say, you said that very much in a very middle-class voice.
That's because I was prepared to use that bit of audio in court. Should it come to it? Anyway.
Max Verstappen. I don't know if you just started hanging around with somebody who was highly educated.
Yeah.
It's not me.
No, the glasses aren't giving it away. Anyway, Max Verstappen at Red Bull. He's currently on 11 penalty points. One more would equal a automatic race ban.
Na 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 na. Max is getting banned. Do you reckon they get the ban hammer out?
Bam! I mean, like you with the fucking script trying, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the internal Red Bull drama with Horner sacked. What's his name? Mekes?
Yeah, not Mekes.
Mekes. Laura
Mekes.
And Verstappen rumoured in talks with Mercedes. Obviously, I think...
I feel they've been very much squashed now, those rumours.
They've been squashed, but they can come back very quickly. But if things unravel at Zandvoort, his home race, the pressure will be immense. Could be the spark that ignites the downward spiral.
Right, so moving on, Alpine, already chaos with multiple driver changes with Colapinto in and doing out. Colapinto is now at risk again. Team principal merry-go-round continues with Briatore looming in the background. If Colapinto crashes or underperforms again, it could damage, the damage could be long-term. And you know what? Absolutely. Like, it really feels like there's been a lot of, like, internal drama this year. I can't wait for Drive to Survive.
It could be the end of Alpine and Renault and F1 if shit don't sort itself out soon, because...
You know, 100%, mate. 100%.
The only strong force that Alpine have at the moment is... Well, the two really would be Briatore, because he's not going to settle. He's going to cheat if he has to. So...
Yeah.
And Pierre Gasly. They're the only two people that are kind of holding Alpine together, in my opinion. Everyone else is just like, white flag. But yeah.
Sorry, you said it. It's that fucking plumber who's like,
you weasel. Yeah, that's exactly what where it was coming from.
Yeah, you know there. Oh, push fittings.
You can't put silicone on without filling up the bath first. Shut up, you weasel. Yes, you can.
Shut up. Yeah. Oh, that's all I heard then.
Yeah. Anyway,
moving swiftly on. Mercedes, do you want to take this one or do you want to take
it? Yeah, go on.
Right. George Russell is strong. Antonelli is inconsistent. No, I don't agree with that.
So I'm like, what?
So, Antonelli has been consistent within himself.
Yes. However,
I don't think George has been strong this year.
Well, George has been making a podium appearance a lot. So George's consistency in obtaining the most points is strong.
Like, no, that's what I mean. Like,
whereas Antonelli's, it's his first season, so I'm not trying to throw shade. Inconsistent.
No, what I'm saying is that with George will either be on the podium or he'll be in like 18th.
Yes, but Antonelli will either be in 18th or 5th or.
But he's the strongest. He's the strongest rookie this year.
No, Isaac Ajar.
Ooh, you know, actually, yeah. I can't fucking disagree.
Also,
with that.
Bortoletto, very strong. I would say it's very hard to pick out of the rookies. And Antonelli is definitely high.
Touched fucking nerve with me there, apparently.
Yeah.
Anyway, Toto stepping back. Upgrades have been hit or miss. A strong start to the year could quickly fade if other teams develop faster. Absolutely. I mean, it's a shame that Toto is taking a bit of a step back from the team. I get why, because obviously he wants to be a bit, spend more time with his family. And,
yeah.
And I get it, mate. He spent, what, 20 years?
He's been back in Mercedes and been part of Formula One for a long time.
Donkey's years,
and it's got to have taken his toll on his family life.
I mean, the thing is, like,
don't get me wrong, Susie's involved with it as well, but I don't know if he has kids or whatever. But,
yeah, he has. It's like one of them ones where I know he really does care about making sure he has family time, and he does feel like a genuine guy. Toto does.
Yeah, 100%.
Obviously, he's going to be strategic with, like, business discussions. Obviously, with the chats that have been happening with Max and everything. But it is one of them ones where, like, that's business.
Yep.
That is 100% business. I do agree, though, that it's been a bit of a fucking... Mercedes looked strong from the get-go. They've been a real rollercoaster for me.
After talking about the Vettel and Webber at Red Bull, the Leclerc at Ferrari, Vettel at Ferrari, it seems like out of all of the kind of... who might be at risk in 2025 that I've listed here. And we've only got one more to get through, but I feel like Mercedes is the most likeliest to be at risk of having a downward spiral for 2025.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, obviously, the big one.
Yes.
I'm going to let you take this.
So, McLaren, obviously, the whole Oscar versus Lando debate. So, both drivers are in a title fight. Currently, clean racing, but the tension is brewing race by race. I don't imagine there's many points between them currently, but I think Oscar's still first in the championship and Lando second. So, oh yeah, here we go. Piastri leads, but Lando's recent form is peaking. So yeah, he did two in a row, Silverstone and something else.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I can't even remember who won the last one at Spa. I think it was Lando again. I think it was. So, but yeah, one flashpoint could derail the harmony. We've seen this story before.
Yeah, we have.
Who do you think is most likely to win after the break out of Oscar and Lando?
I think Lando will have had 3 weeks and he would have started getting in his own head.
You reckon?
And the thing with Lando, I will never take away, Lando is a fucking fantastic driver.
Yep.
Both of them are literally top of their game.
World class.
100%. They really are. They're both world champions in terms of potential. I think Oscar's got a better mental mind state. Like Oscar can walk away from a race, but that was a bit of a shit one. Next race.
Yeah. Whereas Lando
will beat himself up for over it. And you know what? I fucking feel that because I do that.
They're both getting laid now, though, consistently, I would assume. We know what that does to a man.
Yeah, it gives a different level of clear thinking, in it.
Yeah. But,
do you know what else gives you clear thinking? Rage!
Oh, God. Oh. I was ready for something like outrageous, but not that.
Anyway, God.
Do you know what makes up my mind to say that Oscar is going to be more?
Yeah, go on.
Who's going to be? Oh, sorry, it's not who's going to win. Who's going to be the most likely to break? So yes, that will turn my answer into that being the topic because I thought it was who's going to be most likely to win. Who is most likely to break after the break? And you're saying Lando.
Yeah.
I 100% agree. It would be Lando. And the reason my answer comes down to it being Lando is because of social media presence and posting and, you know, topics of what they're posting. So obviously there's been the sponsored stuff with McLaren and Android and stuff. And this is keeping me occupied through the break and this one. But the big one is I've seen Oscar post a lot about him just chilling out, spending time with his missus, having some good time, having like a little bit of a holiday. I've not seen Lando post fuck all. I mean, he probably has. I might have missed some of it, but he's not posted anything chill. So he's probably literally been sat there, as you've eloquently said, just racking his own brain, building himself up and just beating
him. Yeah.
So,
and no wrong, like, there's, I feel people who have that, you know.
Yeah.
Like I know.
Mate,
like,
you're like that sometimes.
Oh, mate, that's
I'm like that sometimes.
Mate, 100%. Mate, we did a job recently where I'll really beat myself up over stuff. And it's one of them ones where, like, I think,
well, in the build-up, when we actually did it, we smashed it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what we do.
Well, that's exactly it, of course. But it is one of them ones where, like, I mean, I do really feel for Lando, and it's one of those ones where, like, that's who he is as a person, and it doesn't make him a bad person at all. It
makes him a good person in my eyes.
It does. Like, it's just obviously...
It just makes him sometimes a little bit of an inconsistent Formula One driver.
Yeah, and obviously, I know we joke that Lando's bottled it again, but it's one of them ones where, like, when you're in that position, and again...
No, like, I could not do better.
No, 100%, I couldn't. Like, I'm a pretty fucking good driver, mate, you know I am, but, like, so are you these days. But, like...
Anyway.
You didn't answer me, are you?
Well, if the shoe fits.
You can go fuck yourself, because your shoe does fit. How many car crashes you had?
No.
Actually, how many engines have you blown up?
Ah, there we go. I can answer that one.
Okay. Well, anyway, moving on. F1 news the last 3 weeks. Obviously, Horner's still out. Rumours of him linking to Ferrari or Alpine. The Ferrari one's got fucked because obviously Fred just had a contract renewal.
Yes.
Alpine is potential, but there's also a risk that he could be on the fucking FIA, yeah.
I was going to say, there's no mention of him being the team principal.
Ooh.
Oh, indeed. Ooh. Ooh. So what you got to remember is James Vowles came from Mercedes. So the Williams principal currently, James Vowles, he came from Mercedes as Bottas' race engineer.
Yeah.
And obviously that's stepping up, so that's different. But stepping down, I mean, what choices does he have? And if he wants to stay in Formula One,
that's exactly. I mean, there is also still, as Toto said, that it could get into the FIA.
Yeah, which no one wants.
No, absolutely no one.
Not a single person wants.
I mean, you say that. Do you think it could be worse than Bensalian?
I don't. I wasn't thinking about him being in that role, like president of the FIA. I just thought about him being like a race engineer or something like that, like Michael Massey. So, but in answer to your question. It's like comparing cancer to cancer, in my opinion. So
fucking hell, Dom.
That's how right, I would
right,
feel about
right,
that.
I'm segueing straight out of that. Right, new 2026 chassis regulations preview, more sustainable and lighter weight. We love a bit of sustainability.
We do love a bit of sustainability.
Not the sort of bullshit electric sort of
no.
sustainability. That sucks because, you know, Colbert, watch the Mark McCann video on it. It'll change your mind.
Yes.
But yeah, lighter weight as well. You know, I'm down for this. I'm game for lighter F1 cars.
Lighter means faster.
Lighter does mean
generally.
Lighter means faster and more agile.
I'm not a physics expert, but I'm pretty sure lighter does mean faster.
Well, what I got to think is normally how you measure horsepower is in horsepower per ton.
Yeah.
You do the power per ton.
Well, it's one of those, isn't it? You can have a car with 1,000 horsepower, but if it weighs 3 tons and you've got a car with 400 horsepower that weighs 850 kilos.
Have you not seen that? I'll show you. Like, it's like a classic Mini that's got a K24 in it.
Mm.
It's turboed.
Yeah.
I think it's like 500 horse.
Yeah.
And it races like a Godzilla Skyline. It's like 1,600 horse and leaves it.
Yeah.
Because the Skyline is like 1,700 kilos. The Mini is like... six or 700 kilos, so it's a ton lighter, so its power to weight is more
heavy.
So yeah, that definitely could be interesting. I mean, I haven't seen much of the new 2026 chassis shapes yet, like the you know, like the model, the demo.
Yeah, there was McLaren did something recently, I think.
Yeah,
but I know that the FIA have pushed out a car. So, you know, like the car that's on the roof of F1?
Yeah.
How that's like it's just a generic FIA car.
Yeah.
Not a team car sort of thing. Without the team's kind of twist, that's, I think, the FIA.
Yeah, well, basically, it's like the demo chassis. It's like, this is what the
base... poster car, essentially.
Well, this is basically the basis of what you build on.
Yeah. And you tweak it and make it yours as you see fit.
Also, Alpine considering Perez if Colapinto fails fitness retest. Now looks less likely... with Cadillac move confirmed.
I don't imagine Cadillac could have any problem with him jumping back into a Formula One car. So the reason why...
I mean, to be honest, they'd probably be buzzing for it because he's getting him back into a car. Seat time.
Obviously.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah. Bottas is getting seat time because he's going to be doing stuff. He's a reserve driver, so yeah. But Perez, hopefully, fingers crossed. And the Red Bull... Mercedes off-season meeting speculation.
No.
Of Max to Merck.
No.
That's...
So, the rumour was that it would be a team of Max and George.
Yeah.
That's never going to work. It's going to be like when it was friggin' Alan Prost and...
Oh, Senna.
And Senna. Yeah. It's a team that's never going to work. They're never going to work together. Like, and the thing is... It'd
be like James Hunt and Niki Lauda.
Yeah.
To be fair, they
had mad respect for each other though in the end.
So did Prost and Senna.
Yeah, but they just fucking hated each other.
They did hate each other, yeah.
No, Alan Prost hated Senna.
Yeah, but that's because he was a threat to him.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
And
well, that'd be exactly why George would hate Max and Max would hate George. So,
I still think if it was going to move, it would the better lineup would have been Max and Kimi. Because Max could have really...
Me a driver that Max has nurtured.
No, but I feel after seeing that crash, you know, when they crashed into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like how calm Max was, I was like, I feel Max could be a positive role model because it's one of them ones where like every driver will find one person who they'll mentor.
Yeah.
And like, they might have not mentored anyone, but they might have that person like, you've got the potential to be a world champion. Let me get you there because I've only got a couple left in me. And even Max has probably got 2 or 3 championships left in him.
Yeah.
And that sounds horrible. But
I don't think he'll stick around in F1 long enough. I agree with what you're saying. Like, he's only got that many left. But
that's what I mean. I don't think he'll stick around. He's going to be in F1 in the next 2 years. Yeah. I reckon he's had enough.
If he doesn't win the championship...
In the next 2 years.
Well, next year, then yeah, I think he'll probably do one more year and retire.
He'll be like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Because he
likes winning.
Well, he likes winning, that's but he also point. likes the challenge.
Yeah.
And obviously, if F1 isn't challenging him and he can't career progress...
Well, it'll be challenging him, but he won't be able to be doing
well.
The thing
is, like, I know he's really been getting into endurance racing, I know.
Yeah, that's his big thing.
Like, anyway, moving swiftly on.
So, the big one is obviously the preview of the Dutch GP at Zandvoort. So, we'll just quickly go into this. Then we can jump into the predictions. And then we got the prediction championship bit of talking about that. So the track characteristics of Zandvoort is obviously high downforce, the twisty bank turn. So I'm sure you remember it from when we were playing F1 as well. It's is very fucking
Zandvoort is a very technical track.
Yes.
It's a fantastic race.
I do not like playing on it.
I like watching it.
Yeah, watching it's fun, but I don't. It's driving, be it on F1 games or at F1 arcade, because it is a track that they've isn't it?
So yeah, it is.
I do not enjoy it. It is not
obviously,
fun.
But obviously, there's risk of rain.
Yeah,
there's always a risk of rain at Zandvoort. And obviously, you've said tire strategy, medium stroke, hard, viable. Safety cars are common. Now, obviously,
don't come out very often.
We will see the inters if there is rain.
Yes.
Because ain't nobody
taking any of those high speed corners.
The only person who would have been able to do that back in the day was Senna.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, will Max handle the pressure at home?
Given his current form, or well, previous form in the season before
this year,
the break.
So, like, looking this year, do you feel he's going to do it at home? Because the pressure on him is huge.
I don't think he's going to do very well. I think top five.
Yeah. You know what? Verstappen's been growing on me more than like lately. And to be honest, it's not Red Bull as it since Horner's gone.
Yeah.
Because the team's just a bit less cunty.
Horny Horner has left.
Horny Horner. In the word of a Jamaican man, Horny Horner has exited the building.
That tickled me. That did.
Yo, tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Exit.
So, McLaren, will they continue their dominance?
100%. I really feel it's still good. We're going to see both McLarens on the podium.
Okay. That takes the question I need.
And for the next one, who will benefit if it rains? Probably. You know what? When it's rains.
I've said, don't ever write off Lance Stroll in the rain.
You know what?
Don't write him off to. I don't expect him to win.
You know, or Alonso either.
Yeah, maybe like, that's Aston Martin's secret thing. Maybe they're running like rain sports. That's the
pilot sport force.
Yeah.
I reckon we're going to see Aston Martin climb up in the pack. And you know what? To be honest, mate, Hülkenberg's pretty good in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously Lewis, everybody calls him the tyre whisperer, especially in the rain.
Yeah,
but that's his domain.
I don't know why Ferrari is a note of will it benefit Ferrari.
I mean
it could be if McLaren fuck up their strategies,
it could
because
benefit
of it rain.
But I mean, you said if McLaren fuck up the strategies, Ferrari 100% are.
Yeah, but no, but that's the thing with Ferrari. It's like everyone's expecting them to fuck up a strategy because everyone else has fucked theirs up, whereas Ferrari probably that's Ferrari's kind of golden moment, isn't it? Because they go, this seems like the most stupidest, ridiculous thing to do. Let's do it. And then everyone else is like, we're going to do the smart, sensible thing. And then it rains. And then Ferrari are like, ha ha ha. Surprise, motherfucker.
Oh, God, I missed doing this podcast, you know.
Tell me I'm wrong, though. That's the Ferrari thing.
Obviously, we'll final question. Will Antonelli return to his form?
Not that he was in bad form. Like again, you know, I don't want to make it look like I'm throwing shade on Antonelli.
I think with
he's
Antonelli,
been really
he's
well.
Been he's having that rookie experience.
Yeah, and that's all it is.
He's having that first time rookie experience where it is it. But anyway, right.
Oh, I am.
Race predictions, motherfucker.
I'm just texting my dad now to remind him. Race predictions. There we go. So, after we've done the predictions, we're going to dive into some prediction statistics, so which is quite interesting. So, the Dutch Grand Prix, around 15, Sam.
Yes.
Who are you putting on the top step of your podium?
You know what?
What McLaren are you putting on the top step of your podium?
I'm not. I don't know. I've just thrown shade at him.
Go on.
But I'm going for Max on P1.
You're a
cunt.
I knew that was going to happen eventually.
Basically, there's a rack drawer here that Dom's just been using as a footstool.
Yeah, that's why my foot's been there.
Yeah, he's just been chilling. Like Dom has had his foot on like a 300-pound drawer and then on a multiple thousand-pound Mac Pro.
Yeah. It's a good footstool, though.
A fantastic footstool.
Anyway. P2, which McLaren?
Oscar.
Okay. And P3?
Lando.
Fair.
I mean, it could still be an Oscar P1, and I'd happily take an Oscar P1.
Yeah. So your podium prediction is Verstappen P1, Piastri P2, and Norris P3.
Oh.
So mine is going to be Piastri P1, because I don't think it's very rare that I don't do that.
Yeah, safe bet.
I'm going to say Leclerc P2 and Norris P3.
Ooh.
Yeah. I thought I'd throw a spanner in the works. I was like, what is like an unlikely but still somewhat likely driver to split the McLarens on the podium? And I was thinking George, because George has done quite well.
Yeah, but...
But, yeah, and the last race, I also put Leclerc P2. Not that he did well, because he did not come on the podium. So, yeah, he did P3. He finished P3 at Spa, so, yeah. But anyway, so our predictions are, just to reiterate again, Verstappen P1, Piastri P2, and Norris P3 for Sam.
For me,
and
Dominic.
Mine is Piastri P1, Leclerc P2, and Norris in P3.
Tall Paul Pending.
So we'll get those and obviously drop them in for the next one.
Right, so best prediction of the week. What's this, Dominic?
So prediction championship so far. So for those that aren't aware and haven't been listening since the start of the season, we're having it. We got a little bet on. I can't remember what it is, but we've made a note of it, and it involves a curry somewhere at some point. And there's some other side bets and this, that, the other.
Yeah, but I'll be honest, this has spiralled horrifically out of control.
Yeah, we're going to have to go back to the start of the season and just
and work out what the bet was.
Work out what it is. But so the leaderboard update of the current tally of points so far with our predictions, actually.
Where do you find that? You reckon Shababs will let us record the final episode at Shababs?
Maybe.
Whilst eating a curry if we do it like 4 o'clock in the morning.
We could ask.
So, rock up.
In third place is Sam with 6 points in total. And then a joint
good,
slash first second is both me and my dad, both with 11 points. I think that comes down to a lot of the time when my dad's nailed the podium I've just had consistent single or two pointers.
It's not looking good, bruv.
Yeah. So there's that. The best prediction of the week, the closest or...
just give me a sec. We're leaving that in. Somebody fucking trying to scam call me.
So the best prediction...
I'm going to find you, motherfucker.
Best prediction of the week with the closest slash correct podium call. I did highlight that one, and I think that was one of yours, Sam.
What best prediction of the week?
The closest podium prediction of the week. No? Who was it? Someone got 2 points. It was my dad with, it was at Bahrain, round four. And the result was Piastri, Russell, Norris. And my dad went Piastri, Russell, Verstappen. So he was literally one off. Bit of a shame. Anyway, worst prediction of the week, the big miss I've put down. So it wasn't the worst prediction, but because he got 1 point and... both of us got no points, but it was when my dad threw a Hulkenberg on the podium for P3. But if you remember, shortly after that,
he got a podium.
So I don't think it is the worst.
Honestly, pulled it back.
The result of that race at Canada was Russell, Verstappen, Antonelli, and my dad said Russell, Piastri, Hulkenberg. So he only got one, be Russell, but like, yeah, Hulkenberg, what the heck, literally two races later,
fucking beast mode, bro.
He fucking did it.
Absolute beast mode.
So
right, so the big question: who is leading the box pod predictions championship of 2025?
Oh, we did that one already.
Oh well, it's in wrong order.
The bias showed that I don't know why I didn't put this in there. I've got a mental note of it, but the bias showed that I am the king. I don't think I've ever, once or twice, P2, my P2 prediction is
bang on,
godly.
He's on God tier.
Yeah. You're very good at predicting the next race. So what I mean by that is your predictions now will be Monza. But you won't do the same one.
You know what? Now I know about that.
Like every prediction that you do.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
You get it wrong that week.
I'm going to build a ChatGPT model to predict this shit.
To predict it. But yeah.
You know what we need to do? We need to, for the last section of the race, for the last couple of races, when there's that, we need to just give it some data and just say, predict the podium.
Yeah. Well, maybe going forward, we'll have a ChatGPT prediction.
The AI prediction.
The AI prediction. See if AI can outsmart us.
I mean, it's not fucking hard, is it?
But right. Yeah. That is our prediction championship. So the fun last bit before we sign off.
Bits. Fancy driver transfer. So one swap mid-season.
So yeah, what you have to do, there must be a like-for-like swap for a seat. So you can't just put the other driver into like a new team or fuck them off or whatever. So, and it must be realistic enough to start a debate. So for example, Hulkenberg to Red Bull, replacing Max, and Max going to Sauber, or Albon to Mercedes, swapping for Antonelli.
Yeah.
Or Gasly to Aston Martin for Alonso, Ajar to Ferrari for Sainz, or Ocon to McLaren as agent of sabotage for Norris.
All right, so I got a good one.
Go on.
Alonso to Ferrari replacing Lewis.
Okay. Who benefits from that? And who gets cooked? And would the season be better?
I think the season would be more interesting because it would be Lewis back at a British team.
Yeah.
There'd be Newey involved somehow.
Yeah.
And obviously next year it'll be Honda.
So who gets cooked, Lewis
good
or...
God, and why is everyone fucking calling me right now?
Lewis or Alonso?
Alonso gets cooked because he's gone to Ferrari.
But Alonso's been to Ferrari, I think. I'm pretty sure. I might be wrong, but
I'm not sure. But don't know what's that.
But no, Lewis, that is bang on the money with that. I think you bet the brief very well there. I don't know who I'd kind of throw into that. I think maybe moving Gasly into a higher team.
Yeah.
But I don't know, a higher performing team, but I don't know what team. Maybe Gasly to, go on.
I've got another really good one, but go on.
I think Gasly to, in fact, imagine Gasly at Ferrari replacing Leclerc. So it'd be Gasly and Hamilton at Ferrari and Leclerc and, is the other geezer at fucking Alpine? Colapinto at the minute.
This one would just cause some fucking serious smoke.
Go on.
Signs to McLaren replacing Lando.
That would be right. Okay. So hold your thought on that. Who would benefit from the move?
McLaren. Oh, I don't know. No. They wouldn't. Williams would.
But would
no? They wouldn't. Because they're both fucking.
Sainz is a good driver, and he's been at McLaren.
And so that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
He will have a working relationship to pick back up on. Whereas Lando would be like, but Lando would bottle it at Williams, 100%.
That's what I mean. Like, it's a win-win for McLaren because they're still getting a great driver.
So the answer to who would benefit would be McLaren.
McLaren, but like Williams would still benefit because they've just taken Lando Norris just for sponsorship.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, that was out the gate.
Who gets cooked? I think we've answered that one. and would the season be better for it would be. Imagine the drivers keeping the current points as well. So Lando's still P2 in the drivers' championship. Yeah. And McLaren are obviously still first in the constructors.
We could be all
Sainz would. Oh, yeah. But that, I think that is.
You know what? We need to do a whole episode. This is a filler episode. This is.
I think that is the greatest thing you've ever said on this podcast.
That is. Single-handedly. Right. Anyway, Dom, let's wrap this up because my phone's going off like no tomorrow and people want to do business with us.
That's fine. So next race is the Heineken Dutch Grand Prix 2025 at Circuit Zandvoort.
On Sunday the 31st of August 2025 at
2 o'clock?
2 p.m. God, you know what?
You have to take two off.
Yes, I know. at 2 p.m. British summer time or 3 o'clock Central Eastern Standard Time. The first race was held there in 1952, race in general.
First F1 race was in 52.
The first F1 race in general in 1948. Dom,
The most wins for driver is Jim Clark with 4.
And the most wins as a constructor was by Ferrari with 9. Most wins per driver.
Obviously, we got Jim Clark with 4, Niki Lauda with 3, which is equal with Max Verstappen with 3.
So last pole position, last year's pole position was Max Verstappen of Red Bull Racing. And the podium was Max Verstappen, Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri.
So, hang on. Hang on a minute. Your prediction.
I did it the other way around.
You were very, very, very close, but yours was Verstappen, Piastri, yeah. Norris. And it was... So basically, oh no, it's not. I was going to say that your prediction's the reverse podium, but it's not. Fastest lap obviously went to Oscar Piastri at McLaren Mercedes at the time with a 1 minute 14.8. After Zandvoort, we're going to head straight to the Temple of Speed for one of the most iconic races in Formula One, the Pirelli Gran Premio d'Italia at Monza, home of Ferrari, on Sunday, the 7th of September. Will the Prancing Ponies win at home?
And remember, next week's episode...
You just laughed at that last line, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Remember, next week's episode is the Zandvoort summary and Monza build-up. And you can find us absolutely everywhere. Where can you find us, Dom?
At BoxBoxBoxPod, as Sam said, on everything.
And where can you find you?
You can find me at DJ Dom Cook and Sam.
And you can find me at Sentio Silvano. And leave a review for the pod. Otherwise, Lando will bin you on the pit entry again. As always, I've been Sam.
I have been Dom.
We'll see you next week. It's good to be back.
It's been emotional. It's been fun. Let's get out of here. Oh, shit, yeah.